RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spot.
Oh my goodness, let's go! Let's go! Yeah, let's go, baby. Let's go. Hey, it's not D-Lo and Casey. We actually haven't come up with a name, and I don't know if we're going to come up with a name for this show, but it's James and Kenny. We'll do it that way.
Well, Casey and the Hammer.
See, it gets a little.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Jim.
What the Sam Hill is going on here?
Romo in the studio. We're going to go KC. See, when you say and the Hammer, it gets crazy. We're going to say KC and Ham. That's how we're going to do it.
KC and Ham. KC and Ham.
There we go. We're going to do this for the next 2 days. ESPN 1320. Oh, man. I don't even know. All right. Let's just get the particulars out of the way. It's December 29th. We're almost to 2026. I am Kenny Caraway.
Acknowledge me.
That is James Ham. I don't know. We got our EP, Jesse Tapia. Oh no, that's not right. Wait, where'd it go? Oh, there we go.
What are you doing with
him? There we go. We'll get it straight tomorrow for sure.
No, it's all good. My favorite bit is that when we have a guest in with me and you, it's like, oh, you're just gonna get a random button today, pal. It's a mystery hockey. I don't know.
I saw Captain. I was like, James is a captain.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was gonna be that.
It's gonna be different tomorrow too. It's a mystery hockey every day.
That's why I don't press buttons.
And I want to say, what's good to all my Bears fans.
I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry.
Shout out to them.
You having an unnatural allegiance to losers. It's not like
saying,
it.
I'm just saying. I wanted to say hi to John Bull.
You having an unnatural allegiance to losers. It's not like
I
it.
Wanted to say hi to my man Manny.
I
what
get
up,
emotional
though?
About this. I'm about to cry.
Oh, man. Hey. What a game.
That was the game of the year.
So here's the crazy thing about that, Jesse. I remember good old KC. I said this after week one, Ravens, Bills. I think it didn't go on the whiteboard or anything because we didn't have that yet. I probably would have put it up there if we had it. I said there will not be a better game than Ravens, Bills all year.
That there's whiteboard's like 2 years old, man. Well, that whiteboard's been here forever.
It's like 2 weeks old.
Our predictions. Yeah, our predictions.
He had noticed the whiteboard for a year and a half, but go ahead.
It was overreaction Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, there won't be a better game than that week one game. There's been like 15.
Yeah, maybe we're a little early.
There's been 15.
Yeah.
But it's been a crazy year. And you're right, Jesse, that might have been the one. That might have been the one. That was phenomenal.
It came down to the goal line the last second, like last moment in the game. Yeah, it was the best one I've seen all season.
Oh, I mean, even man. From the opening moment.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Hey, oh, how, no. Yeah, how did you guys feel that first Brock Purdy pass?
All right, okay, hold on, Jay. Let me. So, my guy, shout out to my guy, Alan, the Bears fan. We've been talking for 2 weeks. 2 weeks about this game. He was at Levi's Stadium last night. Mm. I should have been there. If the Niners win on Saturday and they win the NFC West, that means they will for sure play the Bears next year. And I will be at that game, whether it's in Santa Clara, whether it's in Chicago. Me and Alan, the Bears fan, will be watching Niners-Bears next year. But that's neither here nor there. But we've been talking about this for 2 weeks. And he was like, yo, our defense, we lead the league in takeaways. This is what we do. I said, look, man, I've been there. I've seen everything that you need to see in football, to be honest with you. And when you brag about leading the league in takeaways, that's probably because your defense ain't no good. Probably because they stink and you rely on the takeaway. And if you don't get that takeaway, it's going to be a problem. He said, no, he gonna give us. I said, man, Brock ain't giving you nothing. He ain't giving you nothing. My boy Brock ain't giving you nothing. First play of the game. First play of the game. I said, oh, my God. Are you kidding? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I have flashbacks, Jesse.
No, I did too. Hey, I was going to tweet, Bears fans, don't tweet anything right now. Do not tweet a thing. Yeah, no, I did too. I thought about it too, yeah. James, we're talking about the time when the Dolphins played the Niners. Brock Purdy's first game, when he came in for Jimmy Garoppolo, Trent Sherfield opens up the game, first play with a 74-yard touchdown. I tweet number one defense, my ass, and then my life ends after that. Just ruined. Just ruined after that.
Not a good look.
You beat the Bucks though.
Yeah, Quinn shout out Ewers. Quinn Ewers. Hey, man, got on. Us a 125 game on Sunday, hey. I guess.
Totally ruined your draft spot.
No, it did, yeah. Man. I was not happy about
totally
that.
Totally ruined everything.
He might have found a quarterback, though.
Baby steps.
Oh, okay. No. Okay. That's not funny.
Well, Lamar might be coming, so.
I hope like so.
Stumbling okay. Onto him.
But, yeah, that Brock Purdy touchdown, or interception, that was insane.
That was James. First play of the game.
Well, not only that, but the first play of the game, and you look, and there's your giant – like superstar left tackle grabbing his hammy, and it's like, oh no, it's not just one thing, it's that it was like the biggest double whammy ever.
Yeah,
and this is, it's like what happened in the Chiefs game a couple of weeks ago, and the Chiefs needed to win, first play of the game their left tackle goes down, and you're like, oh that's not good, and then it was just a jailbreak. But hey, was it pleasantly, what's his name, Pleasant? Pleasant.
It was a blur. It was, yeah, I wasn't seeing straight after Trent went down. And then Melissa Stark, I think that's who it was. Bless her heart.
Austin Pleasant.
Bless her heart. She was doing her job. She did a fantastic job like she always does. Bless her heart. But she gets on there and she says, Melissa, do we have an update on what's going on with Trent? And they're like, yeah, he's listed as questionable and they're going to monitor. He didn't took the wraps off his hands.
Yeah.
He took his helmet. He's not coming back.
Trent's just chilling. He's not coming back. On.
He's wearing a suit. You're like, bro, I don't think he's coming back.
What are we talking about?
He could change.
It was done. I said, oh, no, Trent ain't going to be here. But the saving grace is the only team with a worse pass rush than the 49ers in the NFL might be the Bears. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Brock Purdy had a speck of dirt on his jersey last night.
Yeah.
Neither did Caleb Williams, too, by the way.
Hey, look, I've said this about – I've watched plenty of Bears games, and the thing that stands out to me is if you can pressure Caleb Williams and get him outside the pocket. So if he's on a straight rollout, he's incredible. If he's in the pocket, he's amazing. He's got a laser for an arm. Even if someone is running at him and hits him, he stands in the pocket. He makes a great throw. The second he starts to scramble, he throws a ball in the dirt like Chuck Knoblauch. It's like, what are you doing, man? And that's exactly what happened on the final play of the game. It happens to him all season long. As soon as he gets outside of the pocket and he starts moving around and you get any pressure on him at all, it's like a wayward pass every time. And just really, really disappointing. It's just a point of development for him. He'll
is
get
it
better.
Though?
Maybe.
Is it? Jesse brought up the one person last week that has improved their accuracy. Didn't have it on the last play of the game yesterday.
Yeah, that was tough, Josh.
I mean, just wide open.
Yeah.
But that's the one guy that I can think of.
Josh Allen. Him
where he was inaccurate and he became accurate over time. Usually, that's kind of who you are.
Well, Lamar got, you remember the season, all of a sudden he was like throwing 70%?
Yeah.
He yeah, went from a running quarterback to a nice
Lamar,
pocket.
See, but Lamar, real quick, Lamar was never in the 50s, though.
Right.
Yeah, Josh, I think, started out like around like low 50s. His first season, season got to 58. His second season after that, he picked it up. Lamar was in the 60s. I mean, most of his career's worst was his 2022 year.
And the killer, I don't know what the numbers are, so I don't want to disparage him that way, but I just know watching the games. At USC, this was Caleb Williams. At Oklahoma, this was Caleb Williams. Like, he would make the spectacular play.
Yeah.
But when you need to put it on somebody's chest, they're right there wide open. He sails it 5 yards over his head or into the ground or whatever. And there was two times last night. One time before the half where the tight end, I think it was Loveland, might have been wide open on the right side. And Caleb just sails it 5 yards over his head. And then on the final drive, when the Niners finally blitzed for the first time on that drive, the running back, not Swift, but the other running back, wide open on the right side. He was going into the end zone. That was a touchdown.
Yeah.
There's nobody there. And Caleb, there was a little pressure on him, but with that arm strength, he should be able to put it on him. And like you said, he one hops it to him, and the game goes on. Even the last play of the game. Now, that was tough. He's backpedaling on his back foot.
Yep.
It's a tough pass. But it was not like – that was almost a completed pass. Like, it wasn't that far from being completed. So I say all that to say, like, those are the things that I've struggled with, like, embracing Caleb Williams about forever.
Mm-hmm.
But he did make some throws last night.
Oh, like, yeah.
He made some throws last night.
I think he could end up like Josh Allen.
It could happen. I hope it does happen for him. I like Caleb Williams, man. And last night, I mean, the two touchdown passes were fantastic. He had that throw over, bless his heart, 57. Whoever the hell that was, apparently, shout out to Dallas. Shout out to my guy, Dallas. That's a Pro Bowl special teams guy.
For Gifford?
Sure. Gifford, yeah. Pro Bowl special teams guy.
Yeah.
I said, who the hell is that? And why is he in coverage in crunch time? This is the fourth quarter. What the hell is going on here?
In the biggest game of the season.
Is that what, you know what I'm saying? So, but he, like, when he threw that to Loveland, Caleb, that went right over Gifford's right shoulder and right into Loveland's. It was a dime by Caleb Williams, and that's what he does every now and then. So maybe he is a guy that can develop that accuracy with better coaching, more experience, all this other stuff. But he had some give and take last night.
Yeah, man, he's a 57.9% passer.
Worst in the NFL completion percentage of guys who are starters. Like the other guys that are that low are like the Malik
Willis's.
Yeah.
The guys in the backups and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, and I would say, too, I mean, he's got 25 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions. What I see is every time he's on the move in that situation, he throws it in the dirt. Like, he can't, like, it's got to be some sort of body mechanic that he throws a low-line drive, and there's nothing he can do about it. Mm-hmm. So he's got to make some sort of adjustment, and he's got to work on that, you know, do a million rollouts with pressure. It's that moment, though, and I think it's realistically – you know, Caleb Williams has a much bigger arm than Brock Purdy.
Oh, for sure.
But there's the play that Brock Purdy has where he extends the play.
Come on.
Like, man. Jukes two defensive linemen, steps up, steps back, two linebackers come up, and he dumps it to Juszczyk. That was like a Joe Montana moment, but it's like the dynamic, you know, between these two quarterbacks. When you're watching, one has this composure in extreme situations, and the other one has so much talent, but sometimes it's the composure that matters. And watching Brock Purdy, that was one of the most beautiful plays I've seen him do. But like, just in general this season, just an incredible like pocket presence. It was like he was playing Madden when you're doing just a pocket presence game and people are, you know, flying at him everywhere and he's just moving around calm and chill. And then, oh, look, I got the two linebackers or linebacker and a safety to come up. And boom, right over the top.
Is this last month and a half the best of his career so far, the best he's played?
I thought he was back,
I guess you can call it.
It's definitely since he's been back.
Yeah, since he's been back.
I thought he was MVP level in 2023. You know, people dismissed that because...
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think CMC
the people that were around him and stuff like that. They always say he was playing with the Avengers and all this other stuff. They dismissed... But I thought he was MVP level that year. I thought he was as dialed in as anybody. He played better than people give him credit for last year. The team was bad. They blew like 5 or 6 fourth quarter leads, turnovers, defensive lapses. Injuries, obviously, but a lot went into last year that people don't really look at. They just say, oh, Brock wasn't as good without the people around him. But what we've seen in the last month. What we've seen, bro. Yeah. Shout out Kyle Madsen. Last four games. We'll say that's about a month's worth. 70% completion rate. 1,061 yards. He's averaging 8.4 yards per attempt. 12 touchdowns. 3 rushing touchdowns. So 15 total touchdowns, 2 interceptions in that time for Brock Purdy. He has been phenomenal. He's been lights out, man. And that play that you talk about where he's moving around, you know, like when it happens at the Kings games from time to time, we saw like with the Beam team and sometimes with Fox, but you see it a lot with like Steph Curry, right? Where I'm talking about the crowd reaction and like the impulse of the fan to stand on their feet, throw their hands up and say, oh my gosh. There was a guy in college when I would make a shot, he would videotape the games. And sometimes when, not just me, anybody would make a shot, he'd say, oh, Harriet, oh, Harriet. Like, it just, you're just blown away by what's going on. He would always say, oh, Harriet. When Brock made that play in the third quarter, where he scrambled around, split the defenders, looked like he was running, last minute before he crossed the line of scrimmage, finds Juszczyk sitting there in the sideline. I got up. I stood up out of my seat. I walked around. I said, are you kidding me? It was one of those plays. I've seen damn near every 49er quarterback play since that I can remember, like that I was really like locked into since like 1998. That was one of the best plays I've ever seen from a 49ers quarterback. I'm not saying he's one of the best. I'm not saying that play was one of the best plays I'd ever seen from a 49er quarterback. I'd put it top 5, top 10 in the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
That was special. And that's what he does. It's interesting that you bring up him and Caleb because the dynamics are so different. Caleb has all the physical tools, all the physical gifts in the world. Brock doesn't. But what he doesn't have in the physical gifts, he makes up for in his understanding of the game and his understanding of the position. He know, like this, I was telling my boy this earlier. This is why he throws some interceptions sometimes, because he knows, like, I've got to be on time. I've got to be before on time or got to be early. I got to anticipate. I got to make sure that, you know, I'm in the playbook and I know where defenders are going to be. We saw that with Juwan Jennings and what Kyle dialed up on that last touchdown and everything else like that. That's how he has to be, because he doesn't have the arm to see it a little late and then sling it in there, you know, even though he didn't see it right away.
Yeah.
That Caleb does, or Josh Allen. He doesn't have that. So sometimes he's going to anticipate and defenses are going to get him because he's got to do that. But he's a wizard at that. He is fantastic at timing, at understanding where the defense is going to be, should be, and where his – Brock Purdy is one of the top quarterbacks in the game, period.
I think he is too. I don't know why he doesn't get sort of the props that he deserves. And it's, you know, again, you make the little mistakes or what could have been a huge mistake, like the interception early in the game. Like, in it's like, oh, like the entire crowd, like, and the whole anti-Brock Purdy group is like, ah, we told you. And it's like, you forget that this is a kid that led a team to the Super Bowl after, like being the last pick in the draft. Like, he just found his way to the Super Bowl, that he's got, like, what, 4 playoff wins already in his career. And, like, that's spectacular. He's only been to the playoffs twice. And you're watching a player that has, like, a ton of skill. Does he need players around him? I hate to tell you this. Every quarterback needs players around him.
Facts.
They do. They need players around him. It's like, hey, Patrick Mahomes couldn't will the Chiefs back to the playoffs because his running game was trash and his wide receivers were garbage and kept dropping balls and like all kinds of trouble all year long. I think that he's a perfect quarterback for a West Coast offense system, 49ers style system. And like, if you look at his numbers, he's at 2,040 yards and 20 touchdowns. He's averaging, like, his TD percentage leads the league, but that's in 8 games. Like, he projects out, if he would have played the entire season, there's potential for him to be an MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about 4,300 yards. We're talking about 43 touchdowns passing and another, like, 6 rushing, 7 rushing. Like, he's been phenomenal when he's healthy. And I think that's the big thing you got to say, when he's healthy. I mean, you can't clearly control when you get hurt with the turf toe injury and stuff like that. But, like, I think to find a guy this late in the draft and, you know, everyone says, well, is he good enough to win you a game? He just showed you he's good enough to win you a game. Man. Like, did your defense have to make one play at the end? Yeah, they did. But, you know, the reason why they were in that game, because Brock Purdy was dealing the entire night.
He was fantastic. I'm glad you brought up his numbers this season. 20 touchdown passes, 23 total touchdowns this season. That number, that touchdown total, the most by any quarterback with eight or fewer starts since quarterback starts were first tracked in 1950. He's got 23 total touchdowns in eight games this year, eight starts. The guy's the truth, man. He's the truth. And is he flawless? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like, he's got shortcomings. He's got things that he needs to work on. It's still interesting, too, that I think he just turned 26 a couple days ago. 26. He's 26 years old.
Yeah, he's super young.
Like, this is a franchise QB. This is a franchise guy. And you look at what he's able to do, and really, how that 49ers team always has a chance when he's there. And not only is that what the team believes, Kyle believes that. You look at Kyle Shanahan and you look at the trust that he gives Brock Purdy. And it's not lip service when I hear him say in offseason, like, no, it's always been Brock. Like, Brock has been the guy. We've always looked at him as that guy. John Lynch said the same thing. It's not lip service. Like, they have looked at him as the franchise guy since he took over in 2022. And he's just getting better. He's learning the game more. He's getting more experience. There's going to be a time when he's 28 years old where he's going to be – Phillip Rivers going to the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying that's who he is, right? Like, that's who he's going to be. But that game on Monday night, there was nothing the 49ers defense or Robert Saleh could do to Phillip Rivers that he hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
He just got to the line and was like, oh, this is who's blitzing. This is who's in coverage. Who's dropping back. All right, this is what Brock Purdy's going to do that in about 2 or 3 years at 28, 29 years old. At that point, he would have seen everything that the league has to offer. And he's going to get up to the line on every play and be like, oh, this, okay, I know what this defense is. I didn't see all the defensive coordinators four times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to get to that point. And then it's just going to be picking apart what that defense is doing and if you guys can be healthy and if you have players around him. But he's, make no bones about it, that's a franchise quarterback. That is a guy that you pay $50 million to and that you say, hey, be our guy for the next 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, and I would point out, too, you walk into that game. Debo, of course, got traded during the offseason. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ayuk decided doesn't want to be a 49er anymore and stop doing his rehab, whatever the hell happened there. George Kittle's out. You know, Ricky Pearsall can't stay healthy at all. I mean, even last night's game, he got popped early and was like, he takes unnecessary hits, like, out of nowhere. You're like, hey, why did you do that? Like, you're made of glass. Step out of bounds in those situations. But here he is out there. Of course, McCaffrey's having a great game. But McCaffrey's having a great game without, you know, a lot of these players that matter so much. Mm-hmm. Without a Kittle to, you know, to block and do all the other things that Kittle does. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that Purdy was out there, you know, using Tonjes
my boy Jake Tonjes. That's my boy.
Yeah, finding Juszczyk in the end zone. Like, he just kept, like, adding layers to how good he was playing in that game. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that, like, he's taking the leap that everybody thought, you know, that you're always waiting for, especially in the NBA. You're always worried about the leap. And you're watching a quarterback who's just cool and calm in the pocket. Does he, like, have some interception issues? Of course he does, but so do a lot of other quarterbacks. He's got 8 on the season. Sure, that translates to like 17 because he's only played 8 games, but you know, I definitely see him as a quarterback that, like you're saying, like, he is a franchise quarterback, and there's been so many questions about it. There should be no questions watching him play last night and watching the the teammates that he had. His left tackle's gone. Mm. You know, his starting tight end is gone. Both of his wide receivers from the last 3 years are gone. Yeah. And here he is making the best of a situation in a situation where half of your defense is also gone, and you have to compete. You have to keep up. So, yeah, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, I was obviously I've always been a Brock Purdy believer since he stepped in.
Yeah,
like
me too.
I was like, yo, this guy's the real deal. Like, it's just a something that you see. And sometimes you're wrong. You know, I thought Colin Kaepernick was – I was with who said that? Jaws said he might be the best.
Yeah, that was insane, Ron Jaworski. That was insane.
No, I was,
that was insane. It was insane.
Look, I believed him. I saw it. I saw the vision.
I bet you did, 49er fan.
Now, he had everything. Well, at the time, it seemed like he had the speed, he had the size, he had the arm strength, he had all the physical tools. It felt like he was going to revolutionize the game. But, yeah, I was wrong. He wasn't that. You know what I mean? I thought Trey Lance was a really good quarterback. But Brock Purdy, I understand why people get enamored with the physical traits of quarterbacks, because that matters a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding how to play the position is priority number one. What's my man's name? Anthony Richardson, physical freak.
Yeah.
Like he's absolutely got all the physical tools in the world. He don't know how to play the position.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams is getting better at it. Got all the physical gifts in the world. Doesn't necessarily right now know how to play the position. You got to understand how to play the position. And Brock Purdy, from the moment he stepped on the field, he knew what to do under center.
Yeah.
He knew what to do under center. And you saw that last night. And, you know, the Bears, I had my fun with the Bears fans or whatever. Hey, man, that team could go.
Oh, that was fun.
That team could go. Now the defense is trash. The defense is not good at all. They're opportunistic, and they take the ball away, and that's fine. The defense is not good, though. 49ers defense is not good as well. But the question, and we'll figure this out as the day goes along, does that matter this year? Does it matter? That's the question that we're going to ask a lot. Does it matter? Yes. The Bears got shortcomings on the defensive end. The Niners got shortcomings on the defensive end. But this year, with this group of teams in this NFL, does it matter if your defense isn't quote-unquote championship level? Especially if your offense is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'll never forget the 2022, 21, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But the famous Monday night game between the Chiefs and the Rams. It was like 48-45. It was just like last night's game.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's like, oh, sign me up. Let's go to the Super Bowl again. Now, let's see this one in the Super Bowl again. I was in my head, because I don't really like games like that last night. Like, I need some defense. I need some resistance to take you seriously. And I remember that Monday night game. I was like, oh, no, man. Like, one of those teams ain't going to make it. You got to play some type of defense. Sure enough, I think it was the Chiefs who didn't make it. And last night was one of those games where I was like, I don't know if you can do it playing defense like that. But does it matter this year?
I don't think it does.
Mm.
I mean, you're going to run up against some buzzsaws, but most of those, the surprisingly good defensive teams, are in the AFC.
Mm.
And if you're going to run into those, it's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Mm.
But in the NFC, yeah, Seattle has a great defense, don't get me wrong. And the Rams have a really, really good defense. But there are also a lot of suspect defenses and a lot of injuries to big-name players.
Philly has a Super Bowl defense, but that offense is peewee sometimes.
Exactly.
Oh, their offense is bad.
You know, Hurts didn't complete a pass in the second half yesterday?
No.
I think I saw something like that, yeah.
No yards. At all?
Like no, not at all.
It's bad.
It's not surprising, though.
Not at all.
Their offense is horrible.
Man, we're going to be here till 2 o'clock, man. We're talking more. 49ers. We'll talk some Kings. I got James Ham. How can I not talk Kings today? They got to win. I saw the beam lit on Saturday.
Hey, I will watch the games for everyone out there, especially last night.
Thank you, James. Hey, I turned it over to the Kings game after the 49ers. I just let out a big ass sigh.
Oh, man. It was rough. I saw the game last night. It was nasty. It was nasty work. We'll talk about that. Now I want to hear from y'all. Hey, John Bull. Hey, Manny. No, Manny. No, Manny. No, because I don't say nothing about the Bears. I don't say nothing about the Bears. I had no problem with the Bears. Manny came here talking crazy weeks ago. I need to hear from you today. I need to hear from you, Manny. You get on the phone. Get on the phone, man. Hit on the Elk Grove Kid Talk line, 916-909-1320. If you're a 49ers fan, I want to hear from you too. All right, we just getting started. We closing out the year strong. We just got done seeing one of the great games of all time. Holla at us, man. It's KC and Ham right here on ESPN 1320.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Man, we back here on KC and Ham on ESPN 1320 as we wind down 2025. We reflect back on one of the great games we've seen all year long between the Niners and the Bears. We're having an interesting discussion about quarterback. I don't know if we're going to have that like right now or today, but I want to get Ham's perspective on like some of these great quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm looking at just so you guys, we were discussing whether Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, and I'm looking at Mahomes' stats, and he absolutely crushes Aaron Rodgers, like career-wise. Like, and you got to remember, Mahomes has won 3 Super Bowls. He's 30. He's 30 years old. He could play for another decade.
It's tough. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, to be honest with you. It's tough, though. I'm not saying that you were, but
We were outside, James. We were outside.
I was alive for Aaron Rodgers, for prime Aaron. That was maybe the best, you talk about talent-wise, the best quarterbacking maybe I've ever seen. Like, he was insane, and I don't like him. You know I hate the Packers. You know, I just enjoy to no end when the Niners would stomp a mud hole in them and the Packers in the playoffs. I love it. I love to see him fail. But I'm not no hater. That man, when he was in his prime for 8 years, was insane.
If you got to make the argument as well, like Mahomes, what is he, like 8 years into his career, Rodgers is finishing it up, like Mahomes is probably going to pass him up at some point.
He's going to pass him in every category. I mean, like,
if he hasn't already.
Like, Rodgers has never had a 5,000-yard passing season. Mahomes has two. Rodgers had the one season where he threw 48 touchdowns. Mahomes is throwing 50.
MVPs, isn't it like 4-1?
MVPs. Yeah. Rodgers has an MVP, has 4 MVPs. And Mahomes only has one. No, Mahomes has 2.
He's got 2. Okay.
He has 2, but first of all, Aaron Rodgers' last MVP was a joke. Tom Brady was a much better player, had much better stats, should have been the MVP that year, without any question. I mean, it wasn't even remotely close. That's the only 5,000-yard season in Tom Brady's career, and he somehow didn't win the MVP, and he had a team that was, you know, incredible.
I'm not going to take more time defending Aaron Rodgers because I don't like him, but, Aaron Rodgers was crazy. Crazy in his prime.
You guys want to hear from Manny?
You know what?
Oh.
You know what? I absolutely want to hear from Manny on the Elk Grove Kid Talk line. Manuel! What's up, man?
First of all, I'm going to give y'all props. I give props where props is due. Y'all beat
you said you weren't. Today. You said you weren't gonna give me props though. You said you weren't gonna give me congratulations.
He called you Kenny in that text, in that tweet.
You was talking crazy. If you wasn't my boy, you was talking crazy.
Was that wrong?
Y'all were talking about the Bears like they were like second fiddle, like it was gonna be some easy walk in the park, the way that y'all described it. And I was like, no, this is gonna be a game. Regardless of who wins this game, this is gonna be a game. And then you wanted to act like our defense. Look, we both had defenses that were ordered from Temu. They both looked horrible.
They both
were trash. But it was a great shootout, man. Like, it was quarterback against quarterback. And I take some umbrage with what you say about Caleb, right? And here's my point on Caleb.
Okay.
I agree with you on the inaccuracy on the easy passes. You know, it's mind-boggling sometimes seeing how much he misses an easy pass. But we're talking about a second-year quarterback. We're also talking about a quarterback whose first year was with a trash coaching staff. He finally has a decent coaching staff, if not great coaching staff. Let's give a little bit of, you know, give a little bit of grace here on his development. Everybody nowadays acts like everybody should be great by the year two, year three because of all the money. But in reality, in the history of the NFL, quarterbacks usually take 3 to 4 years before you really know what you're getting. So let's let him develop a little bit. He's not missing much, right? Like, most parts of his game are pretty good right now. He just has to be better at that percentage and hitting those easy targets.
So, Manny, here, I'm going to let you cook, too. I'm going to let you respond to this for just a second. I'm going to give you some time as a Bears fan, too. I'm going to give you some time because y'all played a heck of a game. You guys got a heck of a team. Here's the thing with Caleb Williams, and this is why, like, I think people – see me being, you know, boisterous and talking real loud about stuff like that, and they think I just be talking because I'm talking. I've watched Caleb Williams since Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
He's been inaccurate since I've been aware of him. And my question, I'm not saying it can't happen. Like I said, Jesse laid out a great example of Josh Allen being a guy who was inaccurate and got better. I don't really know what it was looking like in Wyoming, so I can't really speak to that. But I've seen, since I've known who Caleb Williams is, he's been inaccurate. And I don't think that's, like, you thinking like, oh, man, he's a young dude and he's going to get better at his accuracy. I seen him when he was 19 years old not be able to complete passes. This is who he's been for as long as I've known him. So forgive me if I'm not just like, oh, he's going to get better at that. I've never seen him get better at that. That's part of his DNA right now.
So here's why I think he will. And again, you could be right, Casey. At the end of the day, if he doesn't, he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that you scratch your head all the time because he drives you wild, right? But I think here's one thing, and Josh Allen even said it. Josh Allen said he admitted being so stubborn to the coaching until at one point it just clicked that he needed to listen to get better at the things that he was inaccurate about. Caleb shows himself to be very open to coaching, to listening to what Ben Johnson has to say, to listening to the staff right now. So in me seeing that, to me, he's willing to put in that work. He's willing to listen. And I think in the offseason, he is going to work. And the things that Ham was talking about, he needs to work on these things in the offseason. I think he will. I think he has aspirations of greatness. And when you can combine those two together, I think that he will overcome those deficiencies and he will get better.
All right, Manny. Well, look, here's the situation. The Niners won and the Bears lost. And because the winner gets to tell history, I can tell you to.
I don't know, man. I might get faded into Bolivian. You know what I mean?
Go ahead and do that. Niners win. Niners win. Niners beat the Bears. Here's the crazy thing about it. James, see, here's the thing. This all started about 2 weeks ago. I don't have no problem with the Bears. The Bears ain't no rival of the 49ers, in my opinion. There's some history there or whatever because the NFC's two-story franchises and everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, I get it. But I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with Caleb Williams. I just talk about it as I see it. You know, I don't have no problem with him. Shout out to my man, Allen. Allen, a Bears fan. That's my dog. That's one of my best friends in the world. He's a Bears fan. Shout out to him. I want to see my man's happy. I want to see him, you know, have success with his sports teams. I don't have no problem with the Bears. But 2 weeks ago, maybe even further back than that, the John Bulls, the Mannies, the Walter Payton Avi guy, just came in talking crazy about the Bears going to come to Levi's and do this and that. And Brock Purdy ain't this and that. And if Brock Purdy was on the Bears, they wouldn't have it. And Caleb is this and that. I'm like, yo, what is going on here? But that's what we're doing. We're talking. Well, I talk with the best of them. I talk with the best of them. You don't want to talk with me because I talk. That's what I do. That's what I did on the court. That's what I did in life. I talk. So if we're going to talk, we're here now. We're here now. And that's why I'll come on here and say something like Bears fans.
I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry.
That's why I come on here and I say that the Bears fans need to.
I don't know, man. I might get faded into Bolivian.
You know what I mean? I wasn't bothering, Jesse. I wasn't bothering nobody. I ain't saying nothing bad about the Bears. Matter of fact, I said I wanted the Bears to beat the brakes off the Lions in week 18 because I didn't like what Dan Campbell did in week 2 when he ran up the score on bench. I didn't like that. So I said, Bears, I want you guys to send them home. Now, they won't even have an opportunity because the Lions are done and the Bears are already won in the NFC North. But I was looking at it like, yo, I want you guys to get that get back. Why are you mad at me? But since you're mad at me, let's talk. And that's where that came from, James.
All right. Hey, look, I think like Caleb Williams is going to develop. And he is a second-year quarterback. And the last couple of years, if it's taught us anything, is second-year quarterback struggle. I mean, C.J. Stroud looked like a completely different quarterback in year 2. Jaden Daniels, like, there were people in fantasy football that took him in the first round. And he was absolutely horrific this season. He did not have a good season. Besides the injuries and everything else, like, it was not a good season. And so when you're looking at like sort of the development of a quarterback, we look at Drake May, who's like totally an outlier. What he's doing is incredible. Bo Nix is doing a lot of the same things, but he's sort of like a year behind development, even though they're the same draft class as Drake May. When I look at Caleb Williams, if he has that mentality that Manny's talking about, and I don't know that he does, but there's a story that Doug Kersey told me that the first year they played the Lakers in the playoffs with, he defended Kobe Bryant and he would run up and stick his hand in Kobe's face and block off. And, you know, Kobe missed a ton of shots, right? The next round, Bruce Bowen did the same thing and got in his face and put his hand in his face the entire time. He said he came back the next season in preseason and it was like someone had, that Kobe had just literally walked around the earth with somebody with a hand in his face for the entire offseason. He had worked so much with somebody waving in his face that he no longer cared about where he was on the court. He knew exactly where the rim was. And he could turn around from any spot on the floor and nothing but net. And it was because he had worked on this. Now, if Caleb Williams wants to go out there and do Kobe-like stuff where he does nothing but have somebody chase him and he's running around the edge and he's throwing passes, then maybe he can get better at some of the stuff that he's doing wrong. Yeah. And so I'm not going to take it out of the realm of possibility, but when you go from like a 62% passer to a 57% passer in year 2, that number one, it shows you the regression in year 2 for most quarterbacks, which we're seeing from Caleb Williams. He just happens to not make the big mistake. But I also like, I want to see what he looks like in year 3, because I think in year 3, very possible he gets back up to being like a 64% passer and he becomes a player that most people believe that he can become when, you know, you're taken with the number 1 pick.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Overall.
I saw this stat this weekend. You know the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer in their, like, franchise?
That's crazy. But when you think about their quarterback,
the Eagles are on there, too.
I didn't know about the
Eagles. Yeah, McNabb never hit 4,000.
Wow. The Bears' quarterback history is crazy. It's crazy. Even their Super Bowl quarterback was not, like, a Hall of
Famer. Jim McMahon
and Rex Grossman you got to the Super Bowl with.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. I mean, this is one of the times I thought they had it maybe with Cutler when he was there. He got him to the NFC Championship game, tore his ACL, I think, in that game or whatever. Something happened. And he was on the bike the whole time. I remember that. But you thought you had it with him. Thought they had it with Justin Fields. And you may have it with Caleb. Here's the thing I will say about Caleb. And then we'll get back to the phone lines. Maybe, because I don't know if this guy – we'll discuss this on air.
Yeah.
But – the thing with Caleb, I was telling Naomi, I said, he needs to be with a coach that can protect him from himself. And I think Ben Johnson is that type of guy. He will have the play calling abilities to put Caleb in situations that will be beneficial to him. So there's that I really love about that combination in Chicago. The other thing that I love and that I respect and appreciate from Caleb is he doesn't get the ball up. He doesn't turn it over. He may not be accurate, but he's not inaccurate in traffic where it could get picked off or anything else like that. I think he's got like less than 7 interceptions on the season. I think
he's at 6 both seasons.
25 and 6, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
And last year was
Last year 6 interceptions as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't give it up, and that's a positive, especially with the offensive firepower that team has and they're going to have with a guy like Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's in the mold of a Kyle Shanahan as far as, like, this is an offensive guy. This is what he's going to do no matter who's out there on the field. He's going to dial some stuff up. So when you have your quarterback not turning the ball over, it's always going to give you at least those possessions to get points on the board. So those are the two things that I like about the Caleb Williams experience in Chicago, even if I've got questions about his accuracy moving forward.
Yeah, here's some crazy stats. So when you talk about their all-time leading passers, right? Their all-time leading franchise passers, Jay Cutler, 23,443 yards.
All-time leading passer is Jay Cutler.
For the Bears. Their all-time leader.
He was there, what, like 3 years?
You talking about first season or like all-time like career?
All-time career.
Like career? All right, that's insane. Yeah, hey, yeah. All right. I thought it was like, Jay threw for like 3,800 1 year. It was like, sick. No, all right.
I've been doing double take.
No, 23,000 yards. 23,000 yards is like there. But that's, and he was there, let's see how many, 102 games.
It's like Jeff Teague being your leading scorer.
Their second leading quarterback, like yardage-wise, in their franchise history. Yeah, go ahead. You're not going to get it.
I thought I was going to get it, but I can't.
Wait, what was the question again, Jen?
Who's number two?
Number two. Oh, I think I have a guess.
Okay.
I'm gonna say it's not Sexy Rexy.
No.
I don't even know any other quarterbacks. Go. I'm sorry. I can't.
Is it Sid Luckman?
How do you know Sid Luckman?
Because I know my history, James.
Sid Luckman from 1939 to 1950 has 14,686 yards. There. Third leading passer. Who do you think that is?
Kyle Orton.
No.
Oh, that feels disgusting. It has to be Rex Grossman.
Nope. Rex Grossman's all the way down the list at number 16.
Oh, damn.
Jim Harbaugh.
Oh gosh.
At 11,567 yards. Their third is Jim McMahon at 11,000. That is their fourth. At 11,203 yards. Their fifth passer of all time, their fifth leading passer, is Mitch Trubisky.
Wow.
At 10,609 yards.
Mitch.
And their sixth is Eric Kramer.
Oh.
Who, I don't know who that is.
Eric Kramer.
That sounds like a guy who started on Eric Seinfeld Kramer. Or something.
Eric Kramer. He was a Viking.
He was a Viking
backup
quarterback. I'm thinking of Eric Crouch. That's why I want to say Nebraska. But he didn't go to Nebraska. I think he went to, did he go to Miami?
No, North Carolina State.
Oh, no, I was way off. Okay.
Shout out to the Wolfpack.
Shout out to the Wolfpack.
Detroit. Oh, I was wrong. He did not play. Boy, that's a different Kramer. He was in Detroit as a backup quarterback, and then he finished in San Diego. But is that crazy?
That's crazy.
And sad.
If I was a Bears fan, I'd be defensive and hyped up for Caleb, too. I ain't never seen no quarterback with this type of potential.
Yeah.
I've never, like, Justin Fields, I think Caleb is better than a better prospect than Justin Fields was. And like, even, like, I'm not saying, like, what we know Justin Fields now to be, but, like, when you drafted him, like, we're like, yo, Justin might be that guy. I think Caleb is better as a prospect than Justin Fields. So I'd be hyped up for Caleb, too. And he's winning games, and he's, you know, he has the thing. He doesn't take sacks either. You know what I mean? Yeah. He avoids the rush. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's got all the physical tools. I'd be hyped up, too.
He just needs a little bit more touch.
Brock Purdy is 9 yards away. If he were in the Bears system, he's 9 yards away from being their third leading passer of all time.
All right, man.
And this is one of the most storied franchises in the NFL. I mean, they've been around forever.
They're successful because they just end up driving some of the greatest middle linebackers and defenders of all time.
Yes.
Middle linebacker, you. Yeah. That's what it is. All right, man. So, okay, we're going to go back to the Elk Grove Kid talk line. And I don't know, are we?
Yeah, just we'll see what this is.
All right, man. Hey, Leezy, man. What's up, Leezy? What's up? What happened yesterday? The Eagles won. Okay, yeah, Leezy call. Okay, what's up,
Leezy? What was the score yesterday? They put up points.
What's up?
Come on, man.
Gracie, help. Tell me something good. What's up, guys?
What's
going on?
What's up, man? You feeling good today, huh?
I'm feeling great. You know, we won 3 in a row. Oh. You know, our defense looking great. We beat a real team in the Bills, not the Raiders. You know, I just wanted to call in for, you know, attendance and roll call because everyone's always looking for me.
You're always missing after a loss.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Hey, we're gearing up for the playoffs, man. There ain't going to be no more losses, so don't worry, guys.
Ain't going to be no more losses. No, there's going to be no more completed passes. That's what's going to happen. The guy didn't complete a pass for a whole half.
Casey, we talked about this. Winners get to write history. Jalen Hurts, 54-25 in his career. We're about to go back to the Super Bowl, NFC champs. I ain't worried about nothing, brother. Ain't no problems. We're going to get rid of that bum offensive coordinator, and we're going to get back to it. Ain't nothing, man.
Jesse has it on the board. Eagles will lose the wild card. And look, if things play out, I don't know if it's exactly.
You know who's running to Philly that first week?
I think
the Rams.
That's what I thought. So yeah, I didn't know if it was going to officially be that. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm picking the Rams to win that game.
Yeah, you're picking the Rams. Yeah. They've looked off all season long, the Eagles. And I don't know what it is. Like, A.J. Brown is begging for the ball. Like, they just look off.
Yeah.
And, Saquon hasn't. You can't put on a performance like you did last year and repeat that. Like the stats showed, like what NFL running backs look like the year after a 2,000-yard season. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry is the only one who's ever been able to like back it up with anything. So it wasn't a huge surprise that what we're seeing from Saquon, but they're just not dynamic.
That game yesterday, while we talk Eagles Bills, I guess, said more about the Bills than it did the Eagles. I'm out on the Bills completely. Mm. Like, I was trying to be like, it's time for Josh Allen. Like, it's all kind of setting up for him. Brother, you got to win that game.
Yeah.
Like the Eagles didn't put up points. You're at home, like, in the elements. You got to win. I'm sorry. So I'm out on the Bills after that one. Still feel the same about the Eagles. I mean, you can't tell me you're going to win a Super Bowl. After
Brock Purdy has 5 less points. Passing touchdowns than Jalen Hurts, and Hurts has played in all 16 games.
That's crazy.
Purdy's played Jalen 8.
Look, in all seriousness, I like Jalen Hurts a lot. Like, I like him as a player. I think he is a winner. I think he is a leader. The production, come on, man.
He does his job. He shows up in the big games, and he does his job. He's not one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but for what the Eagles need, he does it well.
Man. Can we get? I want to get to my guy on the Elk Grove Kid Talk line. I see him there, Mitch. What up, baby?
How's it going, Casey? James,
what's up, Mitch?
Happy New Year's and everything.
Happy New
Year.
Well,
it's not well. Yeah, but it's still 2025. But okay, I get you.
All right, I know we got 3 days left. My first of all, another grandson born on Christmas Day.
Hey, come on, man. I got you, Mitch. Come on, man. Congratulations, big dog.
He's a healthy one. We're at the doctor right now. Just, first of many checkups.
Hey, you calling us from the doctor's office?
Well, they have lunch at 2:00, so I got 5 minutes to kill. Turn you on. I know tomorrow you're off the rest of the week. So
well, no, we're on tomorrow.
We're back tomorrow, Mitch. We're back tomorrow. Yep.
Oh, you're back tomorrow. Well, that's good. Well, cha-ching, right?
Yeah.
Caleb playing much better than anything. He's really turned around. He's looking like one of the best quarterbacks already, top 10. Come on. Better than Jalen Hurts. I'm sorry, Eagles. Too bad. You got like the 49ers, two wide receivers, Purcell and Jennings. Hopefully they'll be there for a while, find them long term. And you got to say the Bills and the Chargers can't get out of their own ways. They cannot. They can never have it too good. They always shoot themselves in the foot, especially the Bills. That was a bad play. They should have gone for the tie. Should have gone to overtime.
You know what?
Real quick, I need Mitch to call us from the doctor's office every time. Every time.
Not from a bicycle on a freeway.
Hold on, Doc. Hold on.
Hold on, yeah.
He hit him with a...
I'll be right with you, sir.
Yeah, no. Mitch, go to the doctor and call us every time.
The doctor came in like, yeah, I got your test results.
I'll be right with you, sir.
Hold on. I'm talking to D-Lo and KC real quick. Hold on. You know what, though? I agree with Mitch.
Yeah.
I thought about that in real time. I'm talking about the Bills game. I thought about that in real time. I said, I wouldn't go for two here. I wouldn't go. The Eagles offense wasn't going to do anything. That, like, the Eagles offense wasn't going to score a touchdown when you got an overtime. So I would have, at home, the way that Eagles offense was playing, I would have kicked the field goal and played for overtime.
Yeah, I didn't love that decision either. I mean, the play was open. Josh Allen's got to make that throw. Like, it was there for them. But I don't know. I guess it's hindsight.
Yeah.
But you lose 13-12. Like, what are you doing scoring 12 points? And all 12 of their points came in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's tough.
Josh's been dealing with a hurt foot. Maybe that's pampered him, but
maybe so. That Eagles defense is legit too, though. Like that's the best defense in the NFC, I believe.
Yeah.
And when Jalen Carter's there, he's a difference maker.
Do you think they're better than the Seattle defense?
Yeah, I saw the Seattle defense get lit up by the Rams at home.
There's holes with that Seattle defense. Like, the Seattle has a great defense, but Eagles is like Super Bowl caliber.
Mm-hmm. Like Seattle's defense is really good, though. I don't want to make like the homes. They're really good, but I've seen them against top flight offenses, the Rams and Tampa Bay, when Tampa Bay was who they were, light them up in Seattle, went up and down the field. So I know on Saturday, Niners are going to have the work cut out for them, though, because that Seahawks defense is going to be ready to go for sure.
Mm-hmm.
One seed will be on the line, man. There's still so much football I want to talk about, man. There's so many things leading up in week 18 in general. You know, people upset with the fact that the Niners aren't on Sunday Night Football. I saw this one coming, though. I saw this one coming. We'll talk about why and everything that's going on with that. Still want to hear from you. I haven't heard from a Niners fan yet. I want to hear from the Niner gang, man. I want to hear from you guys, because that was unreal what we saw last night in Santa Clara. So I want to hear from you guys on that.
Still got that basketball team in Sacramento we'll get to at some point.
Sac State, they did play.
Kenny.
I love the kid. Look, I put it on my Instagram stories. It's still so. I was driving from Roseville on Saturday. It was dark outside. Drove past the beam. It's still like,
hello, old friend.
There it is. There's the beam.
There it is.
So, yeah, they got a win. 1-1 over the weekend. 1-1. Last night was pathetic, but 1-1 over the weekend.
Steven Castaneda, real quick in the chat house. Raider fans allowed to call. Hey, celebration. Celebration.
You did something right, Steven.
You did what you had to do. Absolutely, you're allowed to call. Tell us what you want to do in this draft. I want to hear from everybody here before we get to 2026, man. It's KC and Ham. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.